True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. A few minutes late there. Brought to you by Coins Plus. Got the technology beat again. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Always buying and selling every form of precious metal, rare coins, scrap gold, jewelry, and diamonds. Offering one of the nation's highest rated privately held depository service. And always helping you build the finest, wisest, best performing hard asset portfolios really nationwide. And that's the truth. We have a sister company, Clock Tower Jewelry. So we're always in the diamond business. We wholesale diamonds to the public. We offer diamonds as investments. And we're a high-volume, low-margin coin dealer or precious metals broker. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism is the motto of Coins Plus for 20 years. Honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction. Very important to us, what we do, why we do it, how we do it. Very important. And it's very, you know, I love for years the motto of Lexus. They call it the relentless pursuit of perfection. Obviously, I'm far from perfect, but I love that that logo or that slogan. That's really our goal. Over in this business, I think in and of itself is that way. It is a continuous hunt for another PhD in this business. When you deal in rare coins and precious metals, and when you deal in old coins and old forms of metal, and there you get into, you know, the extensiveness of coin grading and recognition and knowledge of the history, the learning never, ever, ever ends. And when you think you're good, all you need to do is start to get into the old provincial, you know, German or old provincial Roman or old provincial Chinese coins. And there's literally no end to the coins that were made on this earth and how far back they go. And the fact, and actually there is a limit to how far back they go, which is all corroborative with, you know, a very finite beginning for mankind. The concept that, you know, there was apes 250 million years ago that started to kind of turn into man. I mean, folks, the earth does not support that theory in the least. No matter what, there's no rational mortality table that even fits it. And that, you know, that's the problem when people start to come up with these crazy theories that don't work. So you add another zero to the number of years and another zero, and pretty soon you're literally at, you know, I love it when they're talking about, you know, the earth, just a few. They're like, you know, we can see a sun with a large gas-sized planet like Jupiter being eaten by the sun. And they're just a few, 2 billion years new, you know, older than we are, just a mere 2 billion years, which in the age of the solar system or the age of the universe is just nothing when they start doing this stuff. I'm like, give me a break. We are created at this time for a reason. I don't know about billions and billions of years, but I know that the universe is perfection. It's an orchestra of absolute beauty. And it's made, you know, for such a time as this. Someone created it all. Someone, somehow, somewhere, we don't know. And even the homeostasis of the earth and so on is there's very little, no coincidence to this whole thing. And there's no hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of years. By the way, One of my favorite things to do is forget to give the phone number for Coins Plus. 444-0044. That's local. Area code 509. I got to get this fixed, don't I? Spokane, 509-444-0044. Toll free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN, 877-827-2646, or through the website at coinsplus.com. You know, you can contact us. We'll help you out. Actually, to be honest with you, we'll help you even jumpstart your car if you need, but we'd prefer you call us to help you with your financial affairs. So I've had a long couple days. And I'll just leave it at that. A long couple days with a short amount of sleep, with a lot of different things going on. So we will begin to plow forward and see if I can maintain some reasonable level of sanity today. Let me grab my notes here and we'll start to talk. Okay, a couple things to... Let's just start shooting through topics. I don't know if you watch the news. Some people do, some people don't. I don't know where you get your news, but there's this guy named Conrad Murray. Okay? Conrad Murray. He's the guy that is getting all this attention, maybe negative attention, on the news about where these kids are protesting his book, which was written many years ago, called The Bell Curve. And it's very interesting because he has had, this book's been out so long that, you know, people should have complained long, long ago. But they didn't. And now we've had such a difference in our societal response to things that they're getting it, where they debate facts. And I'm telling you, folks, it's so concerning to me. What's so concerning to me is people now want to protest fact. We literally... are literally entering a time of insanity. Kids will protest fact. They will not do their own research. They don't care about it. They get politically correct agendas and narratives, and they're done. They protest. They make complete fools and idiots of themselves. These kids are screaming over the top of Conrad Murray because his book, The Bell Curve, which was written years back, I don't have that in front of me here, basically shows, okay, here it is. It's 1994 this book came out. So we got a 23-year-old book. It's called The Bell Curve, Intelligence and Class Structure in American Life. So they're protesting him. They're calling him a racist and a sexist and a homophobic. Why would they want to do that? Well, it's very simple. This book just specifies some very specific facts. They're saying, they're showing there's like standardized, and this book breaks race down. It breaks people down by race. It begins to show there is a different level of IQ per race or nationality, and thus a different level of success and performance overall. And so he's proven it. He's done it. He's the one that initially showed that the Jews, coincidentally, God's chosen people in the Bible, just a coincidence. You know, of course, it's just totally that way. But that's a joke, by the way. But, you know, that they have the highest IQ on planet Earth. Why is that? And it's by 6 percentage points. And guess who's the most successful nationality on Earth? The Jews. And folks, there's some very interesting things about the Jews. The fact that in Germany, people don't realize they were forbidden from owning land. Okay? They were harassed so bad. So what did they do? They set up carts in the street. And they began to set up businesses from kiosks in the street. They even began to run banks from kiosks in the street. And then what happened next is they began to accumulate wealth again. Numerous times throughout history, various countries have been at complete odds with the Jews. They have persecuted them, abused them, done terrible, heinous things to them. And then they come back again, and they keep continuing to regain that financial stronghold that they're so well known and hated for. The Jacob and Esau thing rings true. They basically, so when I'm looking at this up, okay, he's got issues here. I'm not an expert at this. He's got the emergence of a cognitive elite, cognitive classes, and social behavior. And then he goes, and I can see here where he's basically breaking down the nationalities by IQ. Someone did an amazing write-up on this. It's extensive, but it's simple fact. He's got relation between IQ and earnings in the United States. And he has age on one column, IQ on the other. People, you know, they literally have, this is done in 93 in its yearly income. Mind-boggling, perfectly beautiful chart, okay? On the left, he's got, you go from the age of 18 down to 32. On the right, up at the top, you go from IQ of less than 75 all the way to IQ of greater than 125. He shows very simply that IQ equates to income. People that are age 18 with an IQ lower than 75 in 93 were making $2,000 a year. People age 32 with an IQ over 125 were making $36,000 in 1993, and so on and so forth. He goes in later on, and he, you know, it's a very extensive research. We'll just put it this way. And the thing is it's it shows exactly what it's fact. Okay, it's fact. And I basically have a strong background in mathematics, and I'm trying to get a little more information here, but I don't necessarily have it. I'd probably have to read the book. So it's very simple. It's fact that all these things line up. He's got ethnic differences in cognitive ability, the demography of intelligence, etc. I'm trying to find a certain chart, and then there's criticisms, and of course it's Darwinism, and you know, there's oppression. They always blame the successful guy for the failure of the poor guy. They never, you know, blame the poor guy for holding the successful guy back or anything like that. But so just to leave it at that, he is being protested so harshly that, and no one knows why. They don't even know why. They're calling him racist, sexist, homophobe. And the problem with these protesters, folks, they don't even know. You guys have probably seen, you know, Jimmy Kimmel interviews where they go out on the street and interview these people that have absolutely no clue. And I'll say, you know, honestly, I watch Jimmy Kimmel a little here and there. I can't stand any of the other night talk guys. I cannot stand Seth Meyers. I can't stand some of the others. Jimmy Fallon can be okay, but he's definitely liberal. But Jimmy Kimmel seems to, from what I've seen, done a nice job of riding the middle and staying out of it maybe. And I respect that. I do respect that, you know, there's certain aspects of business maybe where you don't, you know, you don't need to alienate yourself from the other side per se. Even as a believer, there's times, you know, politics, I've spoken with someone about this yesterday. We had a nice conversation about in time, politics, religion, and economics are absolutely adjoined. You cannot separate them any longer. And your political views are becoming adhered to you, as is your persecution and hatedness and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So we'll just basically leave it at this. Conrad Murray showed that when you go to these underdeveloped countries, he goes through and he attacks the most logic of all. He attacks the facts that IQ is related to demography and nationality, so that, you know, if you're born in the Congo, you're going to have a low IQ. You're going to be a black man with a low IQ, and you're not going to do very well. And people argue it, but the fact of the matter is, he's just stating facts. You can go further. You can go to the level of realizing different communities are blessed. Different races of people maybe are blessed. It doesn't mean racism, but you go back to the Bible and there are blessings and cursings on different tribes of Israel, different nationalities. There's definitely blessings and curses that rest upon them. And some of the nationalities that exist today, I've read people that believe were this or that, and I'm not going to get into it because some of it's actually not based on fact, but there are people that sincerely believe that in many, many cases, that's the case. So anyway, so we're starting to see these kids heavily protest. It's basically what's going on out there is his beliefs, when he wrote this, were supported by the American Psychological Association, American Psychology Society, and it's ethnicity and success, and based on IQ, ethnicity, and success. And he proved it, okay? I don't have a point to make here. I don't have a, you know, Aryan nation, you know, whatever, bias or something. My point is just that you have to learn in life to let the facts be the facts. You don't change facts. You don't want to change facts. Facts and evidence are truth. You want to learn to embrace the facts and evidence and reality and then process it to determine what truths lie therein. And if you don't do that, you will literally waste your life. If you value intelligence, if you value wisdom whatsoever, you will not accomplish it. And so it's just... we're seeing the most foolish generation, folks, I believe, in the history, very possibly in the history of this nation. These children are acting with reckless abandon. It's very, very interesting. And so, just, you know, I don't know. We are at a crossroads. We have had our universities completely hijacked. And I mean hijacked by, you know, there was a time when I was in college. I remember liberalism. I had a professor who had a sign on his door that defined what liberal meant. And I was obviously very conservative. And we had some disagreements when I talked to him. And he was your typical liberal. Very strong, very overbearing, very over emotional, but we had many areas of agreement. Well, today that would not be the case. I mean, it's definitely not the case. They have become so self-righteous or, you know, so panderistic. It's just, they just want to say that they're going to offer everything to everybody all the time. I don't understand the logic. I don't know if they really believe that stuff. They think, well, I really do wish I could give everybody tons of free stuff or give it all away, or if they misunderstand, you know, some of Christ's parables about being giving, or and they think somehow that's the government's job, or I don't quite understand it. I just don't get it. But it's, as I said, we are facing some very heavy, heavy challenges in this case. Another situation. I actually got involved in the middle of a really tough situation for me. I don't know how to break it down without disclosing too much about businesses, but I have a company that I've done a bunch of business with over the years, not related to coins at all. And one of the key players that I've dealt with there over the years left about a year ago, and they've got intellectual property stuff, and the big company is now accusing the little guy of intellectual property theft. And my understanding of it is that it is not what I would call even of any relevant concern. However, the way the law is written, the big corporation can push this and literally destroy the life of the little guy. And I was speaking with a principal of the corporation, and they're very, very good at what they do, and they're very successful. And I said, just because it's legal doesn't make it right. Well, the corporate position, and of course they're not believers, they don't share my same ethical beliefs, which I'm not privy to all the same information. I'm not privy to all the facts, but I think I have enough. And it's just been a real sad, sickening situation for me. Very alarming, very troubling. Just sad, because from what I believe I see, I see a corporation taking advantage of a small guy, kind of taking it out on them, other experiences they've had. And it's sad, because I was good friends with both partners. It's the same company. So one's like a partner owner of the company, and the other was one of their top management people. And watching the top management person's life now be methodically disassembled based on intellectual property laws, which are very vague, because in this case there's absolutely no victim, there's no harm, there's no cost. It's scary. It's actually really alarming to me. And it is just, it's been one of those, it's just been, as I've said, some of the stuff I've been dealing with, it's actually been, it's heavy stuff for me, and it's, I'm just seeing this stuff go down. Neither of the parties involved are believers. God injected me in the middle of it at a point, and I was able to express my faith and explain it, and I think I've got all the facts, but it's a sad situation. So, you know, you've got the ethics of compassion versus vengeance. And just remember in life, just because it's legal does not make it right. When you're a believer, the wisdom says settle out of court as soon as you can within reason. I've seen Christians go through legal battles and freak out. Okay, they freak out. They want to settle right away. They don't, you know, they just want to cough it up. And the thing is you either trust God or you don't, you know. And I understand he can give you wisdom. I understand he can give you an impulse to do something. But a lot of times you need to let things play out a little bit. Our legal system can be super draining. I've been through various things over the years. And going through any legal battle at all, any legal struggle, any disagreements, it's so emotionally draining. And the truth of it is, you know, people say, oh, I'll sue you, or I'll sue, you know, nobody wins a lawsuit. You don't just sue and have somebody just cave. I mean, you just don't. It a lot of times you have to get their attorney and they escalate and back and forth, and all of a sudden you forget why it even started, and they're slinging mud, and your attorney's going, you know, responding, and all of a sudden you go from the offense to the defense, and it's just it's really a troubling experience that I wouldn't wish on anybody. There's a reason why Christ said, "Settle your scores out of court. Don't put your life in the hand of a worldly judge." He said that very, very clearly. There are situations where you're going to have to. And in those cases, you just need to bathe it in prayer. Remember the parable of the widow. I always think of that parable that with there's the widow and the judge. And I just love the scripture. It talks about where the widow just continued to pursue the judge over and over and over for justice. She just asked over and over and over, "Grant me justice." And at first, the judge basically ignored her. And it said clearly that the judge was neither feared God nor loved man, or I don't remember exactly how it phrases it, but it basically, you know, it had nothing to do with his faith whatsoever. And so, but eventually the judge, representing God, comes through and gets justice for the widow. And I'll find the scripture, hopefully, if I can. Let's see if I can find it here. Not today. Today's not my day. So, this search function on this computer is not very fun. So, anyway, let me see if I can get lucky here. And I'm cheating. I'm making you guys wait while I try to search something, and it's very frustrating. Luke 18, I should have known that. If I had just cross-referenced my brain instead of just my fingers, I would have known that because I have that memorized. So he says, Jesus says, now he was telling them a parable to show them how to pray. I've discussed this before, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God nor respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponents." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay longer over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he even find faith on the earth?" Jesus is saying, look, he understands the drawbacks to prayer. There are times if we pray, we don't feel heard. We put our head down, we pray, we get up, we go. He's telling us here, there is a secret to getting your way. Now, he's using justice as the example here. He's just saying, faithful perseverance, just patient perseverance, never giving up, just driving away. Eventually, God will hear you. And I think God hears you early on, but God hears the condition of your heart. So when something significant's going on and you're in the middle of a variety of situations, and that may be legal, it may be health, it may be custody of a child. if you pray persistently, God is faithful, and God can do incredible things, and we've seen it in our own lives, hands down, bar none. So don't forget, you don't have to be eloquent, you don't have to be an incredible scholar. God said clearly, just if you are persistent, and your request is, I'm adding this, but I assume this is the case, if your request has to do with justice, you will be answered. And this whole situation that I just discussed is a situation that needs justice. It doesn't pertain to me, and the parties involved are non-believers, so it's a very alarming situation. It's a tough, tough situation. So, anyway, so just keep that, just remember that if, you know, when you have important prayers and things like that. One thing, I guess, that I'll throw in on this that came up in my attempted negotiations between a corporation and an individual who I respect and like both. The ethics of, I wrote, compassion versus vengeance. Natural law, I wrote, was to myself, was laid down by God. Karma, as some refer to it, what goes around comes around. There's biblical standards where the Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. I've spoken to people. I spoke to a listener who called in one time to talk to me, and he debated with me about natural law when I explained that I believe when God set everything up and he put the, you know, put the world and the wound the clock up and put things in motion or whatever you want to call it. Actually, he didn't initially wind the clock up because you probably weren't going to fall into sin, you know, until that occurred. Who knows? Who knows what changed at that point? But he placed natural law at the core of who we are, at the core of our system. So it does not matter, nor does it ever say in any of these books of wisdom, in any aspect of the Bible, that, you know, it says, you, when you go to the Proverbs and you go to Psalms, and it'll say the wicked perish. I mean, that's the Reader's Digest version, but it basically will explain what the wicked's doing and why he'll perish. And it doesn't say if he believes in God. It just says what the consequences of the behavior are. And I believe in that firmly. So remember that as well. Everything that goes around comes around. It doesn't matter where your company is. It does, if you're a principal of the company, it better have Judeo-Christian ethics or you need to get yourself out of there. But it's, you know, that set of rules is baked in, as they say. So we've got, you know, what the political arena is rife with challenge and controversy, and, you know, they're still battling over, who knows, healthcare's coming back, the tax stuff's coming back. I'm getting a little concerned about Trump compromising his beliefs or compromising his promises in negotiation, enjoying it, thinking it's okay. What's really alarming to me is this is the direction of America is our debt is just so unsustainable. I've gone through the numbers before. I'll pop it out again. Since a year before Obama got out of since a year before George Bush got out and off of office, George W. Bush, we had a deficit of right around $4 trillion. We now have a deficit of $20 trillion. So in 9 years? In 9 years, he has been able to rack up not only the most significant deficit in the history of the world, but more debt than all of the presidents before him combined in huge multiples. He went all out. He believes that in the Clowerdon Piven strategy, you steal from the rich and give to the poor. You steal from the government and give to the poor. And he had an idealistic perspective that when he began to function with a $4.5 trillion yearly budget, which is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard, he believed, I think, that he would literally, not only did is there such crony capitalism, that it's difficult, but so, let's get on here to, we're going to touch on the Second Amendment here, a little bit more, and then we'll move forward, and, we'll go on. So the Second Amendment, we've been discussing the amendments, and I apologize for the distraction there. I had a situation real quick here in the studio that I had to kind of tend to. That's why sometimes if you hear me kind of like not make sense all of a sudden, sometimes I've got technological stuff. I'm a one-man band like they used to be. So we have been kind of touching on the General Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution. People may not always understand what that means. The Constitution of the United States, to me, is the equivalent of a divinely inspired document. I really believe it. It was written by a large group of men that just firmly disagreed with one another. In many cases, they disavowed one another. And they were somehow able to come together and put this thing together in a room for a short period of time and come to terms with every line of it. Every line of it is written eloquently and easy to understand in exceptional legal phraseology. It was intentionally kept simple. And then what they did is they put all these rights that they believed are inalienable as amendments. There was a number of things that was debated to put as in amendments, like how Congress gets paid and when they get their raises and all, you know, initially those did not go in. People were just offended. They're like, no, that's not what this is all about. So they put in the Bill of Rights. Later on, those things did make their way back into like the 23rd Amendment and things like that. But by that point, they're so far out, we don't really pay attention to them. And so our founding fathers drew this document up knowing the value of it, knowing the necessity of it, knowing that literally that they would be facing death for it. This was this came after the Declaration of Independence. And it was the absolute declaration of a nation born into a new form of government that, by most practical purposes, would be perfect, a government of complete and total individual freedom and liberty. And that is just what it is. It's an absolutely phenomenal document. And they put the Bill of Rights, the first 10 rights that they think are the most important, the top 10, they put that at the beginning of the document. I discussed Wednesday the Bill of Rights, or the Second Amendment, the absolute necessity to own guns for gun ownership. We must have the right to bear arms. Let's, real briefly, the First Amendment is the people's right to practice their religion, okay? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So Congress cannot establish a religion. They can't do it by law. Do they? Yes. Are there laws that squelch religion? Absolutely. But it's constitutionally forbidden. Then we get into the checks and balances. We've got the presidential, aka executive branch, the judicial branch, which is the Congress, and then and then we've got the legislative branch, which I got that wrong. Sorry. Judicial is the Supreme Court. You've got the president, which is the executive branch, and you've got Congress, which is the legislative branch. Congress writes the laws, and Congress controls the purse strings. The president's job is to enforce the laws of the land. This is why it is so ridiculous. Okay, he's to enforce the laws of the land and protect us at the borders. That's his job. And to see these heinous, ridiculous arguments about, you know, the president intentionally disregarding laws and refusing to protect our borders and acting like he's somehow a warrior for civil rights because he wants to let illegal aliens in by the droves is a fallacy I don't even understand. And the real problem with, you know, that breakdown at that level is it is fundamentally, that is at the core of the core of the core of who we are. We are getting people that are activists at every stinking level. I mean, folks, I know I sound like an alarmist. I'm telling you, do you not see what I'm talking about? You get Ferguson, you get all these police shootings just surrounded by controversy. Of course, after they, you know, after time goes by and it's no longer a news story at all, then they start coming out with, you know, fake news to eradicate old bad news. And, you know, it just, folks, this is all propaganda. We do know that Russia probably is meddling with the fake news, trying to persuade and control, probably doing experiments on the efficacy of a variety of activities. We don't know. We're not made privy to it. That's what's the hard part. So the Third Amendment of the United States guarantees that military, army, you know, law enforcement, I suppose, army cannot force homeowners to house and feed the soldiers. So not only did they used to do this, did they used to force them to house and feed it, they used to confiscate their wealth. They would literally confiscate all their freshly harvested grain. I mean, there was some very terrible things happening back at that time. And it went on and on and on for a very, very long time. In fact, post-constitutionalism were areas of the country that, you know, said that this part of the country was so evil and so dark and that, you know, they just were in a permanent state of rebellion and disobedience. And that went on for many, many years. And it's important to understand that because there's been suffering in this nation. And some of the most cohesive aspects of that have been, you know, through personal refining, et cetera. So basically, we're protected in the Third Amendment against the army forcing homeowners to give up their land, their house, to the government, basically, and serve them hand and foot, ending often in various forms of rapes and all kinds of things that were just not good like that. I don't, the whole history of it, I know a little bit, but it obviously was very important, and it was probably occurring with Great Britain at the time. But this isn't a law. This is a natural law, and there's a difference. So the Fourth Amendment protects the people, that's you and me, from our governments improperly taking our property, papers, or people in general without a void warrant based on a probable cause or a good reason. It's, you know, we're protected. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury except in cases arising in the land. Da, 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 da. Basically, you are protected from illegal search and seizure. So that is an area that they have absolutely pushed very far in the name of security, to the point of extreme concern. TSA is one of them. The airport has become a bottleneck of people in this world, and they use it as a controlling device. Traveling is becoming very uncomfortable. Daniel talked about, the book of Daniel talked about a day when knowledge shall increase and people shall travel to and fro. And I've looked into that, and it literally means increase exponentially, like explode, like Google. And that traveling to and fro is referring to world travel. Well, people are traveling on a world basis far more than they ever have. And this is a time when we are now, we're faced with we're faced with information that has, it's a completely unprecedented time. And it's an amazing time that way, but it's also an incredible time what they're doing with simple science fiction, where some of these universities are starting out with a simple piece of science fiction and then backtracking and figuring out how to make it work. And I'm sure artificial intelligence is getting to that point where, I can't remember if it's Google or whoever has a separate plug for their artificial intelligence, because they're concerned that one day it's going to get smart enough to figure out how to get out or whatever. So we're protected from illegal search and seizure in the Fourth Amendment. The Fifth Amendment protects us from, it says, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime, wherein the crime shall have committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusations, etc. So basically, none of this Gestapo tactics where they come and they sweep you up and they slap charges on you, but you don't have any clue what they are, and then drag you through a kangaroo court that no one else knows about and that they don't want to show up for, and that, you know, and you're making the most important decisions or whatever. You know, and so on. So we have a right to proper legal representation. And we have a right to not be charged twice for the same crime. And we can't testify against ourselves. And we can't have our property taken without being justly compensated. And these are important things, okay? The Fifth Amendment is important, important things, because people do get accused. You watch TV, the way they hype things up, you don't think they're alleged anymore when they're showing it to you. They can't charge you twice, which is double jeopardy, which is really the truth, because a lot of times in court, there's the element of surprise or gotcha moments where they come up with some, you know, last-minute piece of evidence that really makes a difference, and you cannot relive those exact moments the way they really occur. You just can't relive them properly. And so you basically tip your hat to the prosecution. If they keep trying it over and over, there's a bunch of reasons. But the bottom line is you get one crack, the prosecution gets one crack at people, and then they move on. This is why a lot of times prosecutors will pass on certain crimes and cases, and people don't understand. First of all, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be profitable. But secondly, it's got to be possible. So otherwise, you're just wasting time, energy, and effort. So we have a right to legal counsel. And I think, you know, you have a right to the best you can buy or find. And you can't testify against yourself, and you're not supposed to have your property illegally searched and seized. And so that's a good, these are good protections. We know why that is. We know these other countries have drugged people in front of these courts. They've mocked them. They belittle them. And then they would use it to basically execute them. And so I, based on the information, you know, I have, I just, you know, pursuing that. So I guess today that's probably a good place. The Sixth Amendment guarantees a speedy trial. We'll touch on that. A jury that doesn't already think you are guilty. And it says, you know, it basically says in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise committed. Okay, let's see. I messed that up. Sorry. Otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Same thing we just saw. Basically, you have a right to speedy trial and a jury, and that's a big deal. A jury of your peers to say, you know, there had been all kinds of political crimes in England. Countries like America are formed at a time when it's very necessary because evil is prevailing at that time. So I'll just tell you, sorry, folks, it was a little bit of a, there's been a lot of distraction going on, but in our lives, keep praying. We need it. We've had some great blessings with some different family things that I've been trying to help out with. Really need the prayer, the strength, the protection emotionally and spiritually for sure. Bless on the business. You know, there's times that are good and times that aren't. But we basically are here to serve you financially. And you need to understand, God gave us an economic system, a financial investment vehicle that gives us true freedom and liberty. When missionaries go to countries and they preach to oppressed peoples, those people rise up and they begin to seek their own liberty. Christianity is a religion of strength. Jesus did not back down. Remember that. He was diplomatic. He was God, but he did not back down, and you are not to back down either. When you see a case of injustice, God wants us to speak up. He wants us to be that defender of you know, the small guy to the bully. So be that person. Don't ask about yourself. Don't worry about what people think of you. Worry about what they think of what's right and true. And fight for that. You know, so many people are caught up in a whole different realm. You need to stand up for what's true and right at all times. And God will bless that. He'll honor that. He'll see that. He will, you know, it's very important that we are his mouthpieces. That's the whole game down here. That's where there's the faith connection and so on. It is quite intriguing. Coins Plus 444-0044 in Spokane, toll free outside the area, 877-TAP-COIN, or through the website at coinsplus.com. Remember, we build portfolios, folks, and we like to do it. We do it well. We make small margins, and we're always here to help you financially. Thanks again. Have a great weekend. Go Zags. And we're closed. Bye-bye.